say, well, I will encourage you if you like. He said, go ahead and do so. And then, like he also said, he went ahead to do it, giving us an example. Jesus himself went ahead to be baptized. Amen? Let's look at that in Matthew chapter 3. We're going to read 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. We don't have it still on the screen. Okay. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. 14, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us all to fulfill all righteousness. 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. So we can see here that Jesus himself was baptized. And when he came to John to baptize him, why did he go to John to baptize him? Does anybody have an idea? Why? To fulfill all righteousness, because that's what the word said concerning him. That was the prophecy concerning him. And because the word said that he was going to be baptized by John, he said, we just have to do it. It's not because there's any sin in me. It's not because of anything else. But we have to follow the scriptures to fulfill all righteousness. And again, after he had been baptized, the Bible said that there was a voice that came. So why will God be endorsing him still? This is my beloved Son. God would have said, why did you go and do this water baptism? No, you are no longer my beloved Son. But God was still approving of him. Amen? So we can see that the reason we have to be baptized is because, one, we were commanded to do so. Are we all in agreement? And then secondly, if you are a Christian, a Christian means a Christ-like person. We are followers of Jesus. We are the disciples of Jesus. So if he is our leader, the author and finisher of our faith, the one we are following, so if he did that, we should also, as his followers, do what? We should do the same. We have to be ardent followers of our leader. Amen? So John thought that since Jesus is the sinless Son of God, that he should be baptizing him, John. But Jesus still said, no. We have to fulfill all righteousness. Amen? So we have said that because it was commanded and because Jesus, our example, did the same. And we are his disciples today. That's what let's look at John chapter 17. We have to see that, you know, it's not just for the disciples of then, but it includes those of us who are born again today. The Bible said in John 17, verse 18, it said that was the prayer of Jesus before, you know, he left here on earth. The last prayer he prayed for his disciples. Verse 18 says that John 17, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Did you hear what verse 20 said? I do not pray for these alone. That is, he's talking about his immediate disciples. Say, Father, I'm not praying for just these ones alone. I'm also praying for those who will believe in you through their word. So we are the ones, because we have believed in him through the words that we have passed down to us. And those who will yet believe after us, as we keep on preaching this message, our children, as they come and they hear, they are all covered in this prayer. So that, like someone said, nobody was talking about his disciples. No, we are his disciples because we are the born again ones. So he covered us in prayer. So if we are part of his disciples, then it's also applicable to us that we have to be baptized. Amen? Let's look at Acts chapter 2, 37 to 39. Acts chapter 2, 37 to 39. Can we read it together? Now, when they heard this, what did they hear? The preaching of the disciples were preaching to these ones who are not yet born again. Say, now, let's go on. Now, when they heard this, they were caught to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Amen. So that means that water baptism follows after salvation. When you repent, that's when you change your mind and choose Jesus. You receive the Spirit of Christ, and then the next thing is that you will be baptized by immersion. Amen? So, that means that the qualification for water baptism is what? What is the qualification? It's what? Once you are born again, you are qualified for water baptism. We are going to read some scriptures. But before then, I want us to know what water baptism means. What is water baptism? Water baptism is a physical act. Okay, let me say it this way. Is a symbol, or it stands for, okay, thank you, that's okay. It stands for the dead, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are identifying with the dead, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is a physical act to show that we too, we died with Christ, because he died as us. Remember? He died as us. So it's a physical act to show what happened when we asked the Lord Jesus to become our Savior. It means that we are saying that we died, we were buried. That's why it has to be immersion. Do you bury on the surface of the earth? Have you ever seen where they are burying somebody and they just drop that person? No. That's why they dig and then they drop you there, and they do what? They cover you completely so that your hand or your toe or any part of you will not be showing. That is, they immerse you inside the sand. Remember what we said baptism means? To baptize means to immerse completely inside a substance. So, it is a public identification of the dead, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are publicly declaring to those who are around that, look, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In that he died, I too died. I was buried with him through baptism, and I was resurrected with him into glory. Because his resurrection was for our justification. Amen? So the physical act should indelibly mark the mind of the person being baptized with the reality of his union with Christ. It's just to help us to have an idea of what happened. That we died with Christ, we were buried with him, and we resurrected along with him. It is an outward sign of an inward work. The work that was done was inside. It's not physical. Because when you get born again, you are still the same height. You're still the same complexion. You are still the same size. Everything about you is still the same. So it is not the physical that changed. It is inside. You receive a new nature. And that's why it is an outward sign of an inward work. An outward sign and testimony of the inner renewing and purification through grace. Amen? So you understand what it means? It is a symbol to show that just as Jesus died and was buried and resurrected and rose again to glory, in the same manner, I died with him, I was buried with him, and I resurrected. So, but it is an inner, walk. It is not an outer walk. Amen? The Bible said in Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4, Romans 6, 3 and 4, it say, or do you not, okay, can we read it together? Or do you not know that as many as of you as we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now go back to that verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of you as we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are baptized into his death? You get baptized into Christ Jesus when you receive him as your Lord and your Savior. In other words, you immerse yourself in Christ, which means you receive a new nature. You receive his nature. And then verse 4 now says, let's go to verse 4 again. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. We now do water baptism to signify what we did, what happened in verse 3. Do you understand? I am no longer mine. I am now Jesus. That's why the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, that Christ is our life. And then the water baptism is just now a symbol to show that you have received a new life, a new nature. Amen? Does anybody have any question on this? Do we need further clarification on what water baptism means? It's an outward sign for what happened on the inside of you when you received a new nature. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Okay, let's read it together. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. This was, talking about after Jesus resurrected. So he's now, we no longer regard him as, is he not the captain's son? Is he not the one that we've been following? Is he not Joseph said? We now know him by spirit, spiritually. So in the same manner, we regard no one. Go back to the beginning line. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So that's for you and I. So if anyone be in Christ, according to verse 17, the Bible says he's a new creation. So that I don't have to look at my sister Julie and say, look at that woman, she called herself a Christian. I'm not to judge. That's why the Bible says don't judge. Because as far as God is concerned, she's beautiful, she's pure, she's holy, she's righteous, regardless of what she's doing. The other performance on the outside that you might be seeing that is making you to point an accusing finger at her, it's a matter of time. So long as she keeps fellowshipping with the Word of God, those things will keep on dropping off. She will keep moving from one level of glory to another level of glory as she keeps fellowshipping with the Word of God. But as far as I see her, I embrace her as one of me, because we all have the same Father. We have the same head, Jesus. We all belong to the same body, Christ Jesus. So as far as I see her, I will treat her and look at her based on who she is in Christ, and not on based on her performance. If you look at who she is based on your five senses, you're going to be maybe hating her, resenting her, and you might not want to relate with her. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we regard no one after the flesh. We see each other based with us. We look with the eye of the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? That's how, and that way you embrace your brother, you embrace your sister, and you love your brother, you love your sister. Leave God to do the changing. Because he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, as you keep on beholding the Word of God, it is the Word of God that changes. It is the Word of God that changes you. It is the Word of God that changes me. I don't have what it takes to change any life, but the Word of God changes all of us. So you leave that for God to do through his Word. Praise the Lord. But you relate with your brother, your sister, based on who he or she is in Christ. Amen? Amen. So, we want to look at the qualifications for water baptism. Okay, we've already said that. We said that the qualification is what? Is that you have to be born again. Amen. So next, I think we've already talked about the pattern for water baptism, but let's take some scriptures to help us to find out that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We're going to read it together. Ready, go. Okay. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Okay, let's just stop there. So, can anybody comment on this? Can anybody comment on this? Okay, all I wanted us to know here is that they say that he, let's go back to that scripture. That verse 16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately. So if he came up, it means that what? He went down. So that again confirms to us that water baptism is by immersion. You see, you know, where I grew up, they were baptizing even infants. When they're about, maybe when a baby, you know, is born, I think after 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, the parents will bring the baby and they will say, you know, this is a godfather, godmother, and they will baptize the infant. That was what Roman Catholics and the Protestants were doing when they were canvassing for membership. It got so bad because they were trying to get more members to their own section that they went ahead to baptize infants. That was man-made ideas. It wasn't from the Word of God. You can't see anywhere in the scriptures where you are asked to baptize infants. Because the Bible said, remember where we started our text? The Matthew, what? 28, verse 20, say, go ye therefore and teach. So you have to teach them. They have to hear. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13. Ephesians 1, 13. Let's read it together. In him you also trusted. When did you trust him? After you heard the word of truth. Has the baby heard the word of truth? The baby cannot even understand the mom or the dad. Doesn't even recognize them. So why will you be baptizing that baby? Does he know anything about Jesus? No. The word of God said, you have to first of all believe, and that belief comes after you had the word of truth. And what is that word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. What is the gospel of your salvation? Everything about what Jesus did for us. The baby, he doesn't have the capability, the ability, or whatever to understand that. So you can't go ahead and baptize the infant. And they now say, God, Father, God, Mother. And they will tell you, you have to be teaching this child until when the child, matures and understands Jesus. And when the child now gives his or her life to Jesus, now you now bring the baby back so that the bishop will now confirm that this one is now a born again. There's nothing like that in the Bible. Nothing like that. And in any case, you find out that, in fact, the way they do it now is that once your child is of a certain age, maybe 8 years or 10 years, I remember when I was at Queen's College, once a child turns, because they made it now that before they can confirm you, you must have to be a certain age. At Queen's College, at least I know that. And then once your child turns that age, you find parents bombarding the principal's office saying, please help me and put my daughter's name among those that are going to be confirmed by the bishop. Those children never got the chance to even to have an impact from their godfather, godmother. And then they will wear white and dress up and eat cake that day, and the bishop will now say, we now confirm that this one is now born again. There's nothing like that. And that's why you have a lot of Johns and Jameses and Peter. They just live their lives anyhow, because they never really understand what Christianity is all about. So that was a man-made idea, not from the word of God. But we follow the word of God the way it is. You have to hear. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 10, let's look at that verse 15. Romans 10, 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Verse 15. Let's read it. Okay, let's start from verse 14. From verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they were sent? Let's just stop there. So you see, somebody has to tell you about Jesus. Like people told me about Jesus. It took me quite some time, but when I finally believed, I gave my life to Jesus. And then the next phase was to be baptized by immersion. Amen? So that was the idea of people who were struggling for membership, to have more people on their side. It was never in the Bible, so it should not be followed. Amen? So we can see that Jesus, when he was baptized, he came up out, which means he went down. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 10. Mark 1, verse 10. Let's read it together. Mark chapter 1, verse 10. Let's go. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. So we can see again, coming up from the water, which means he went down. Amen? Now, let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 39. So the first two scriptures told us about Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. Okay, let's read it. Ready? Go. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So you see again, when the Ethiopian eunuch, received Jesus after that, Philip shared the gospel with him. Remember that scripture. You can read it for yourself. You can read down the whole story. The Bible said that the eunuch said, here is water. What stops me from being baptized? And Philip asked him, do you believe? And he said he believed. And they went down, and he was baptized. And when they came up out of the water, so Jesus was our pattern, and we can again see it being followed in the scriptures. So you have to be baptized by immersion. Amen? All right, so usually here when we are doing water baptism, we kind of, we remind you again of this thing so that you will understand, and you don't force it on anybody, because you have to make sure that that person is born again. And if the person is willing to be filled, to be baptized, then you go ahead and, you know, conduct a little service to go through these things again. And then we take you to where you can be baptized, and our senior pastor or any of the pastors will now do the baptism. And like I said, it has to be completely immersed. And that's why when you are being baptized, if any part of you shows on the outside, we say, no, you are not yet fully buried. You have to go back again. And it's so simple, it's so easy. You just take a deep breath. Before you know it, within a twinkle of an eye, you are up out from the water. Amen? All right, we'll just continue. So, like I said, the qualification, let's look at Matthew 28, verse 19, for the benefit of those who just joined us. Matthew 28, 19. Let's look at it again. Matthew 28, 19. Let's read it again. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. And then let's look at... Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Ready, go. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Amen. Leave that scripture there. You see, you have to believe before you'll be baptized. But you see, some people go ahead and say that you must have to be baptized before you are saved. It's not true. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The moment you have, the Bible said in Romans 8 verse 9, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't believe in him. And how do you receive the Spirit of Christ? When you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Then you think of the young man that was by Jesus on the cross. You remember that man? Do you remember? So what did Jesus tell him? Today you will be with me in paradise. Was he baptized? But if he's going to be with Jesus in paradise, does that mean that he's saved or he's not saved? He's saved. But the thing is, for those of us, we are not yet dead if we are alive. So you still have the opportunity to be baptized. So water baptism does not make you saved or not saved. Whether you are baptized or not baptized, if you're born again, if you're genuinely born again, you will make heaven. It won't stop you from making heaven. But the only thing we are saying is that because we love Jesus, and because we believe in him, and because he's our leader, and he commanded us to do so, we want to do so. And because he showed us that as a pattern, we just want to simply follow his pattern. Is that not true of a good leader, of a good follower? Is that not true of a good follower? Praise the Lord. So that's the simple reason you want to do that, because we are asked to do so. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 2, 36 to 39. Acts chapter 2, 36 to 39. Okay, I think we've read it before. It's talking about where Peter, you know, with all boldness declared the gospel, and then the people repented and they gave their lives to Jesus. Peter told them, when they said, what shall we now do? And he said, repent. In other words, change. What does it mean to change? Is it to stop committing sin? Is that what it means? I'm asking. He said it's a part of it. Is it a part of it? Is it a part of it? No? It's not a part of it. If for any reason anyone here is not born again, and if you give your life to Christ today, you become pure, holy, righteous, blameless in his sight. Why? Just simply because of the Spirit of Christ in you. That's what makes you holy. You understand what I'm saying? Then the process of growth starts. Just like a baby is born, that baby is a human being. Do you understand? So the parents will now start the process of helping the baby to develop. But that baby is a human being. If you are asking how many men are in the house, you're going to include that young boy as one of the men in the house, isn't it? Even though he has not yet turned into a man, but we know that he will get there. In the same manner, to repent means to change your mind about Jesus, believe in him. So you say, oh, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that the day that he died was for me. Oh, Lord, I put my trust in him. It means you have changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you get into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, because you are now born again, then you begin to learn how things operate in the family of God. Do you understand? You are going to be taught, and it is the word of God that teaches you. The word of God changes you. But what he's saying is, change your mind about Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins. Do you understand? That's what the word repent means. Amen? Okay, the ushers, just please help me and keep on distributing the envelopes for Sunday school offering. Is that clear to you? So when the word of God says repent, it means change your mind and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and believe that he died for your sins. So it does not include the issue about sin. Because that's why the Bible said in John 3 verse 17 that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. Let's put it up on the screen. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. John chapter 3 verse 17. Let's read it together. Ready, go. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So you first of all get saved. In other words, you first of all get born. You have to first of all born a child, isn't it? And then you now start feeding the child. And then when the child gets to a certain age, you begin to say, okay, my dear, you know, just don't rub this in this way. You begin to teach. The process of teaching and growth starts. That's what the word of God does. And that's why God said to us, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together as a manner of some is, so that we'll be able to grow and get matured. And that's why God gave us in the church, pastors, teachers, to help us to grow, to understand everything about Jesus. Because as we started earlier on, remember I told you that Jesus is our life. So you understand what you are like. You are like Jesus is you. You are Jesus. So the word of God teaches me about Jesus. The more I study about Jesus, the more I get to know about myself. Because as he is, that's just me. And his life is my life. You understand? So we have seen that the qualification for water baptism is that you have to be born again. Once you're born again, you can be born again today and you want to be baptized by immersion. That's absolutely correct. All right? And even to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you believe, that's absolutely correct. Amen? Okay, so now let's look at some of the examples of those who are baptized in the Bible. We've already, seen the one about the Ethiopian eunuch. So now that's Acts chapter 8, 34 to 39. We might not read it again because we have already commented on that. Let's look at the men of Samaria. Acts chapter 8, 12 and 13. Acts 8, 12 and 13. Let's read. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom. Are we all reading? Ready, go. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So you see, they first of all believed in Jesus, and then what happened? They were then baptized. Now let's look at Cornelius' case, Acts chapter 10, 1 to 6. Acts chapter 10, 1 to 6. Okay, let's read. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth, verse 3. So you see, this man was so good that anybody will qualify him as a child of God. You understand what I'm saying? And yet, without Jesus, like the Bible said in Romans 8 verse 9b, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you don't belong to him. There is no amount of going to church and carrying the fattest Bible and fasting 100 days that will make you a child of God until you have acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. If you genuinely receive him, that's the only way you become a child of God, because all God is looking for is for his image. And that his image is the Spirit of his Son Jesus. Amen? And the only way to receive his Son is after you have had the good news, the gospel of your salvation, and you believe and you choose to put your trust in him. Somebody can say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I have some people that like that. Well, I believe, but I'm not yet ready. I have such people in my class. Yes. Say, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died for my sins, but I'm not ready yet. You can't force anybody. Jesus never forced anybody. God will never force us. Human beings are the only ones that God gave the privilege and the opportunity to choose for ourselves. They say, I put before you life and death. Say, choose you therefore. It's our choice. You can never force anybody. Amen? All right. So you see, go back to verse 3. Say, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. You know, because this confuses some people. Sometimes they see how somebody is good and goes to church, but the person is not born again. Say, but he's a good Christian. He's a good man. No, that's not the standard of God. You follow the word of God. Amen? Verse 3. He said, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And we know the rest of the story. So why didn't the angel share the good news with Cornelius? Because he's not commissioned to do that. God has given us the privilege and the opportunity to share this gospel. The angels cannot share the gospel. It's only we that are his children that can do that. Amen? And again, God didn't say, well, this man is so good, gives alms, so let him, he's now my son. No. He had to send for Peter to tell him about Jesus. Now let's look at 29, 34, and 44 to 48. Verse 29 of the same scripture. 29. Okay, ready, go. Therefore, that's Peter now speaking. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows. Okay, I think let's start from verse 30. From verse 30. So Cornelius said for days. Oh, okay, I don't want that story. Go back to verse 34. I'm sorry, because of our time. Okay, 35 now. 35. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism with John, which John preached, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Let's look at 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. You can read the rest of them. But what we are trying to bring out here, you say why Peter was speaking. But the primary thing is that he has mentioned that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God gave us for the remission of our sins. He said that those who believe, and because all God is looking for, God is searching your heart. God is interested in your heart. He's not interested in the outward show of worship. But the Bible said, while Peter was here speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, which was a confirmation of the fact that they believed, and God poured out his Spirit. Because, again, the qualification for Holy Spirit baptism is that you're born again. So God, who saw their heart, immediately filled them with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then the next thing is that they were now baptized in the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's look at the Ethiopian jailer. Acts chapter 16:31-33. Ready, go. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Go ahead. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were what? Baptized. But they told them about the Lord and they believed. And then the next thing is that they were what? Baptized. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, water baptism has to be done in what name? It has to be, okay, well, you know, our theme says it has to be done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But you see, God has now told us that this is his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. So, now, you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that was why Jesus was still here on earth. So, whether you baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, or you baptize in the name of the Lord, like we read it here, you are perfectly correct. But here it says, in the name of the Lord, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Amen? So, since we have all learned about this water baptism, it is important that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we too should do so. If you have not yet been baptized by immersion, I will encourage you to submit your name to your Sunday school teachers or to the Sunday school superintendent and the assistant so that we can arrange for you to do this water baptism. I remember the when me and my husband went to Olumba Olumba Obu, I remember they did this water baptism for me in the name of But I thank God that when finally we gave our lives to Jesus, we had to now be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that you did water baptism, by immersion, you must understand in whose name did you do that water baptism. It must have to be in the name of the Lord Jesus or in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Do you have any question? Any question?
Quick question.
Yes, please.
Pastor, please, could you differentiate between John's baptism and Jesus' baptism so that we can get
Amen.
Clarification?
Do you have that scripture? I know there's they have a scripture there. There was a place where, I remember the place where Paul was asking some people whether they had been baptized. They said that was the Holy Spirit baptism. Yeah. Now, John's baptism was just to tell people to repent. That's to change their ways, the kind of things that they were doing, that they should change their ways, and that's maybe the evils that they... unfortunately, my husband is not here. He would have also helped us to throw more light because I know he understands it better than myself. So that one was for them to repent. That's to change their evil ways. The terrible things that they were doing, you know, like the tax collectors, that they should stop, you know, cheating people. They should go by the things, you know, by the way of God. But the repentance that we have in Christ Jesus is not telling us to stop our sins, because you don't have the ability to stop your sin. You must have to receive the Spirit of Christ. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will be able to live above sin. It is by grace that you're able to live above sin. So what he's telling us to do is to receive Jesus, to change your mind about Jesus. But the other one is telling you to stop your evil ways. Change your ways. Repent. It is not the born again one, because they don't have the ability to be born again. The primary thing Jesus came to do is just to simply to help us to believe that he died for all our sins, past, present, and future. You must remember that you're not, none of us here is over 2,000 years ago, but he died 2,000 years ago. Even when all of us, we are not born yet, because I'm not yet 100 years old. So he died before I was even born. And he died for all those who are yet to be born in the future. That singular death that he died was for all of those things. So you have to believe that that death was for you, and then you trust him as your life. And then you begin to listen to him. And his word is himself. His word is himself. Especially every word from after the resurrection that tells us about Jesus is himself. The more you study those things, the more the nyama-nyama, the deaths, that's the lives that are not good enough, begins to drop off. It's a process, so that you don't condemn yourself even when you miss it. You know that you will finally change. Just like your children, they don't get it right all the time. Could you please help me to call my husband, because I would like him to comment on this. Elijah, could you help me to get our senior pastor? Okay. You understand what I'm saying? So those things start dropping off little by little. You are changing me by the power in your word from one level of glory to another level of glory. But the other one is telling us to repent. That's a John's Nkem Love. They are asking us, they're asking me the difference between John's baptism and Jesus' baptism. And what's your question so that he can tackle the two of them at the same time? Use the mic, please.
How do we scale, excuse me, how do we scale people like Cornelius? And people who come to church and being born again
are being born again.
They're born again, okay. They're baptized, and they are very tight. Their pocket is very tight. How do we scale these two people?
No, no, no. We'll talk about that one another.
Oh, no, no, no.
Praise the Lord. Anybody here can answer this question. I've thought this over and over. I didn't know why they called me. Sorry. Many of you should answer that question, because I've taught this John's baptism over and over and over and over. Any of you here, if you are regular in this church, would have heard me explain this over and over. And what? John's baptism was based on works. It was based on what? Works. So he told them, and it was at the time of the Old Testament laws. So he said to them, it wasn't even for non-Jews. It was the Jews that came, the Pharisees and everything. And then he said to them, before I baptize you, you have to confess your what? Sins. Because they were the people that were operating the law of Moses. That was the dispensation of the time. But when Jesus came, it was a new dispensation. And Jesus said, you don't take old cloth and join to, he said it will rend, it will destroy your life. So in the new dispensation in which we are, I want you to listen again. Repentance is not based on works, because by nature, man is sinful. There's no amount of repentance that will change the nature of a man. For the scripture makes it clear that all have sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. Is we lost the nature of God. By nature, we became children of disobedience, children of wrath. You couldn't repent yourself out of your nature, for a leopard cannot change its skin. No amount of dipping you in water will change the skin. The problem of man is not his character, it is his nature. He lost this basic salvation thing. It's basic salvation. Jesus came to redeem us. The basic thing, the core thing that God did was give us eternal life. And that eternal life means he changed our nature. The Bible says we had the nature of the devil, operating under the spirit that works in children of disobedience. So that's falling short of the glory is that we lost the nature. God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, so they be like us. And to be like God is sinless. But sin entered, and man became sinful. So he was no more like God. So you couldn't baptize him out of it. Let me see. There is nothing he can do to bring him out of it. And the scripture asks, he said, you people that are accustomed to evil, how can you change? And he said, can a leper change his skin? He said, the same way you can't. So God sent his son. And the reason that Jesus came is that he will have life. And have it what? So he took the old nature and crucified it on the cross. So that we can now have a new nature, which is created in holiness and through righteousness. So he restored us to the image of God. And that's what I'm teaching on Thursday. These are spiritual realities. Spiritual realities. I said God was dealing with Israel from physical point of view, because they were dead in sin and trespasses. They had heart of stone. Their faith was based on physical things. So he said to Moses, let me pass before you. You see my back. Otherwise, Moses wouldn't believe God. And before he used Moses, he set off fire. And so Moses had to see something. He said to Abraham, hey, I bless you. Abraham had difficulty. He was laughing. I said, come out. Let me show you. You are a Canaan man. Look at the stars. So the man figured it out. I said, okay, if I'm going to have all these children like stars, awesome. That was physical time. But when Christ came, the time of faith came, because now we're talking of spiritual realities. Are you getting me? So now, if any man is in Christ, he's what? That new creation is spiritual thing. Because he that is born of God is born of spirit. He that is born of spirit is spirit. So he's not talking of the new nature. He's not talking of the physical thing you see. He's talking of spiritual reality, which is real. That if a man is in Christ, his nature changes. Repentance doesn't bring it. What brings it is that you accept what already has been accomplished and the cross for you, where God crucified you, and where new nature is waiting for you. By faith now, you receive it. Can I hear amen? Amen. Now, so when you come to Christ and receive that, God, Jesus said, now you can be baptized in the name of God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. It's not to change you. It is to a symbol of your death, burial, and what? Resurrection, which occurred in Christ Jesus. Is that clear? So it's not to make you better. Where you were made better is on the cross. Paul said, I dare not talk of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus. He said, it was there I was separated from the world, and the world was separated from me, because there I lost this nature, this kind of nature, and I got a new nature. I'm now like God. It's not baptism that makes you so. It is Jesus Christ. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have what? What is that being? It's the new nature. It's the new nature. That's the being you have. And that's how you live the Christian life. The Bible says Jesus took away the law. The law could not change our nature. So when he did that, he said, do you want to check your lustful flesh? He said, walk in the spirit. That's the way to check it now. He said, you can't check your flesh by the law. He said, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill. Come on now. You shall not fulfill what? He said, walk in the new nature I gave you. You can't walk in it except by faith, because you don't see it. That's what I was teaching on Thursday. You don't see it, but it's real. It's true. If any man is in Christ, he's what? A new creature. All things have passed away. So this baptism of Christ, and Jesus commanded that those who believe now, who have received this new nature, are the ones that can symbolize what has happened to them. I was listening to the women. I said, the reason the church is full of carnal people is because we don't know Jesus Christ. Don't know him. And the only way you can grow spiritually is through the knowledge of Christ. There's no other way to grow. You think I'm joking? Keep doing law. And you'll be paying the price. You'll be losing a lot. A lot. Struggling, confused. Do you know how many of this? Because you're walking in darkness. When you come into Christ, you start walking in the light. Start walking in the light. And the Spirit of God begins to transform you from glory to what? From glory to what? Unto his image. That's the only way it happens. Did you get what I'm saying? Don't ask me this question again. I flog everybody who asked me that question.
Amen. Shall we all rise?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.